Talk Show. Recorded live.
What's up, everybody? This is Jeff Roney, and you are listening to Roney's Own Radio. And you can find all of the Roney's Own production goodness at www.roneyzone.com. And if you have never heard about Roney's Own Productions, you may want to listen to Talk Shoes Host Sharing Strategies the last 2 weeks. We've been mentioned in the most called in shows. So anyway, just take a little listen to those two shows. That's when the CEO of Talk Shoe gives little tips and reads off the top 25, the top 10 shows in certain categories. So you can hear about us there. You can email us at roneyzone@gmail.com. So tonight we have a few guests in the room. We have your buddy Bill, my buddy Bill. We have Bill.
Howdy, Jeff.
How are you? You're in the jalopy, are you not?
I apologize. I'm in the mobile Roney Zone broadcast studio.
Now, you know, it seems another podcaster we've heard about did a mobile show. So, anyway, I guess we're doing it again.
I can't wait to hear what their experiences are like.
Yes.
I'll have to wait because I'm nowhere near a computer terminal.
That is true. Now, Mr. iSci-Fi Jeff, how are you, sir?
I am doing good, and I did not introduce Echo tonight.
Hey, excellent.
That Echo was from a plug-in on my X-Lite that allowed me to loop it back as if it was line input, so it was doubling up on the audio. So if I screwed things up last night, I owe you a free banner ad on my website. And I'm
well, thank you. I'll definitely take that, but don't lose any sleep over it. It was kind of like a ghost that kept coming back. It was weird.
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I'm talking on a mixer with a decent mic, and you guys
sound
just fine, right?
Yes, it does sound different, and it does sound better, absolutely. Now, let's kind of dive in. I'm glad Jeff is here. Now, are you live on your show as well?
No, and Talk Show is going to hear about it, actually.
Oh, I see. Well, hang in there, because we're going to be talking about... now, the terms I'm going to use, we're going to use loosely. Cult, sci-fi, well, kind of, television shows and cult sci-fi movies that you rarely hear about. Now, I think I introduced the last time we did a shit like this that many times in the past that sci-fi television and even sci-fi movies never really got any type of a great amount of money to do. So you had issues where, you know, perhaps maybe the writing wasn't all that good, maybe the acting wasn't all that good, maybe the effects wasn't all that good. But anyway, sometimes these shows that deal with, you know, science fiction or fantasy, that kind of a thing, they kind of rise above it, and they achieve something that, you know, is pretty incredible in the genre. So... if we could, let's go ahead and start off with my buddy Bill. What about your first choice, if you can, a member of a show?
I'm thinking of a movie.
Okay.
And I believe it was called Dark Star. And it was a science fiction comedy. I think it was kind of like a cross between Spoofing 2001 and Silent Running, both of which were sci-fi films, 70s, which had, you know, which were serious themes and, you know, had cinematography and writing and pregnant pauses and music. And
Now you briefly mentioned Dark Star last show.
Oh, did I?
I think we just mentioned it, though. We didn't really go into depth. We talked more about Silent Running, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Huey Dewey. Yeah, I love that one. But yeah, with Dark Star, it had a dark edge to it. And there was a captain who was frozen in ice. There was the space herpes. There was the they were on a mission. They had to blow up a planet. I think it might have been something similar to in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. They're making, I don't know, lanes.
Space herpes was actually ice pirates.
Shoot. You're right, Ice Pirate. We could do that one. That's funny. That's funny. But
well,
Dark Star was edgy funny because it was dark, you know?
Right.
And they're supposed to blow up this planet, and they had this big bomb, you know? They're kind of like a UPS/demolition crew out in space, I guess. And, you know, they're kind of bored and joking around. And, well, the bomb is a super intelligent, you know, artificial intelligence, expert, you know, guided bomb. The thing is, it starts to reason, and at some point, it's, you know, it starts questioning, well, am I alive? Do I exist? And eventually it decides that, well, if I think, therefore I am, and then it progresses to, you know, if I explode, therefore, you know, yeah, it's a fun movie. I wish I could tell you the director and the producer and some of the cast members, but that's a little secret I'm going to keep for people to see in the show notes afterwards.
We have show notes?
Well, the secret show notes.
I see.
Send an email to roniezone@gmail.com to learn secret show notes.
Yes. All right. Wow.
Well,
Mr. iSciFi Jeff, why don't you throw one out in the mix?
If I'm trying to remember this one, it was a 3D movie with Molly Ringwald.
Oh,
horrible
God.
Movie, too.
Did it have like some sort of blue or silver sparkly costume stuff?
Well, and it was filmed in Utah, too.
Wasn't that the Cherry 2000 or something?
No, earlier than that. It was like 82.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. There's aliens and jello shots. I mean,
well, there's another one, Buckaroo Banzai.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. What a great quote. I love that. Remember, wherever you go, there you are. That's from that movie.
Oh, and sorry about the giggles. That was me, by the way.
Now, okay, let's, there were a number of 3D films that came out, you know, some of them were sci-fi, some of them weren't. Let me try and look,
well, there's Jaws 3D.
Right, well, there was one called Coming At You, that was, you know, they shot arrows and stuff at the camera, okay, Molly Ringwald. Talk amongst yourselves. So I'm going to look this up here.
1983, Space Hunter, Adventure in the...
That is correct.
And I'm getting an echo on my side, so that's why I keep pausing.
Okay. Let me see here. Yes. And, all right. Yeah, and...
Did he have a motorcycle and a shotgun?
That sounds about right.
No, that was Time Rider.
Right, that was Time Rider. Yeah, let's not...
Dead
let's
War,
not...
great movie.
Now, Buckaroo Banzai. Now, you know, that's, again, one of those movies that, you know, kind of really fall into this cult film where when it first was released, nobody really knew what to do about it. And then, but as time went on, people started to see it, and then... you know, started quoting, you know, stuff and all that. What was the gist of the film? What was it about?
Dear Lord. If I'm going to remember, I thought he was like some sort of space hero / rock star or something. People liked him.
Yeah, surgeon, rock musician.
I think he was a rocket doctor.
And they came from the eighth dimension.
Now, okay, I'm going to throw out one here. Let's see here. Doc Savage. That was late 70s. And now let me have my little paper here. Yeah, that was,
late 70s, Doc Savage.
I'm bringing it up here. Doc Savage, Man of Bronze. And it starred the guy that went on to host, let's see. Yeah, George Powell produced it. And it starred Ron Ely, and Ron Ely went on to host the TV show. I'll tell you in 2 seconds. It was a great TV show, and just the name escapes me at this point. I think it was Name That Tune or something.
Glory or...
No. Okay, hold on. Let me look it up. Well, anyway, it was Doc Savage, and there was a really cool, it was a special, like a bat lair, but it was for Doc Savage, and he flew in, and it was really cool, but it was like, the effects were pretty bad, but I mean, George Powell kind of brought some good, a good edge to it, and there was this, you know, this mysterious island and a Mayan tribe and all this kind of stuff. It was, it had some elements, I think, as far as this strange kind of, you know, group of people on an island and just, anyway, Doc Savage, Ron Ely. Yeah, the show number is kind of falling apart really, really fast, because I think I talked about, did I talk about Carl Kolchak last time?
I don't remember.
I'll talk about it again, because I love Carl Kolchak and The Night Stalker. It's a great movie. I saw it when I was a kid. It kept me up all night, scared to death. And, you know, the whole, had like $5 for all the costumes and then the weird makeup, but there's like a weird monster every week, you know. And so Carl Kolchak was in A Christmas Story, Darren McGavin, and he was a newspaper reporter. And so he would get lines on all these strange stories, and he'd go out and investigate all these werewolf and a succubus and just dinosaur eggs in the bottom of this hospital, and it was just weird stuff. I mean, the sad thing was they didn't have enough money for really good effects and really good costumes. There was a headless guy on a motorcycle with a samurai sword, but when the guy came at you with the motorcycle, it was obvious that there was like some torso on top of some guy's shoulders. It was really, really bad. The acting was so cool. I mean, Darren McGavin was just awesome. And he carried the thing, and Chris Carter was the one that said that Carl Kolchak, the Night Stalker, influenced him with the X-Files, because it was that whole kind of, you know, weird stuff going on today. And so, you know, the X-Files kind of had its genesis with Carl Kolchak, the Night Stalker. And it was really cool, and there's really a lot of neat cameo appearances by like Richard Anderson, who went on to do $6 Million Man and Bionic Woman and that kind of thing. And there's really some neat character actors that you would definitely know. So I think they're great. They're great fun, and they kept me awake at night. So I had to keep the light on in the closet. That's a whole another story. But Carl Kolchak, the Night Stalker. If you've never seen it, You should see a lot of it, because it really had a great effect, and then you'll see what Darren McGavin did before he did A Christmas Story. So, Okay. Bill, you got another one? Uh-oh. Well, he's still connected.
Your buddy Bill?
Well, he's still connected.
Well, here's one for you, and please don't break down in singing, but I'm going to name off the character names. Riff Raff, Brad, Janet, and Dr. Frank N. Furter.
Right. That is correct. And we're doing the Time Warp. That's what we're doing.
Yes, because we are fans of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Very strange, but cult movie.
I think what was interesting about that movie is they really did what they could to... it was really funny because they had a picture of Tim Curry's mouth. And, you know, the way they promoted a different set of Jaws. And it was right around the time Jaws was came out. And so it's very interesting that they kind of used an established movie like Jaws, and they were trying to say, well, it's different than that. And yeah, it was. So who else was in that movie that we would know today?
Susan Sarandon.
Yep.
Barry Boswick, Meatloaf.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, besides Tim Curry and Fishnets, you know, there was some other established actors. So, I mean, what I thought was really interesting is, you know, definitely it was a quirky film, but they went for it, man. Singing, it was, you know, I got to give it to them. They did not hold back, and, you know, here we go. Years later, we're still talking about the little quirky film that people throw rice in the theater these days and stuff like that. So
it's still shown here Saturday and Sunday at midnight at kind of an indie movie theater.
Yep.
And being in Utah and watching a movie like that is kind of culture shock to some people.
That's true. Now, I got another TV show, and I really loved this TV show when it was on. Oh, and I see pictures, and I see why. Quark, the TV series, does it ring a bell with you?
It does not.
Quark, yeah, it came out in 77, and it was created by Buck Henry, who was the co-creator of Get Smart, and also a writer for Saturday Night Live. And it starred Richard Benjamin and Trisha and Sib Barnstable. And once you see a picture of them, you'll go, oh, yeah, 70s, yeah, that's right. They were some pinup models there. So, but it was a show about Richard Benjamin flew a garbage spaceship. And... you know, comedy ensued. And I thought it was, you know, kind of a quaint little funny thing. Again, you can see part of it on YouTube and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, definitely there was some homage to Star Wars and all this kind of stuff. The first episode was called May the Source Be With You, so obviously... they were trying to kind of cash in a little bit on the comedic Star Wars thing. So that's pretty funny, but it is older. Oh, and the Bettys, Sib and Patricia Barnstable, were the Double Mint Gum twins. Wikipedia, just a wonder.
Auto Man, I loved it, even though it was a knockoff of Tron.
Yep. Now, let's see, Auto Man. That was late 80s, something like that?
83 with Desi Arnaz Jr., Chuck Wagner, Robert Lansing. It only aired 13 episodes, and I think people just weren't ready for a technology TV show. But around the same time the A-Team that had very cheesy explosions and car wrecks was very popular.
I kind of remember it, but I kind of don't. All right. I'll have to check. It's been a while.
The Man was played by Chuck Wagner. He was a police officer that developed this hologram type of suit, and he actually became the hologram as a crime-fighting piece of light, I guess. The car was really cool because it could take corners at 90-degree angles, and it was truly a knock-up of Tron because they had another character that was similar, like the bit that said yes and no that followed Automan around and kind of a terrible 80s science fiction TV show, but I liked it. I was a junior in high school when this came out, and Star Wars and Return of the Jedi came out that year that just hands down walked over this movie as far as the ability to do effects. What do you expect from TV shows, right?
Yeah, as long as you don't bring up Manimal, I'm still there with you.
I won't bring it up, right. I don't know it.
Is Bill there anywhere on the line? Somewhere. Okay, we move forward. On Channel 5 in Southern California, they used to show a lot of Hammer films and a lot of scary films and that kind of stuff. Back when movies were kind of hip and new, and now we have 25,000 movie channels. They just don't show films on normal, established the big three channels anymore. So, I mean, actually, it's kind of interesting. The only station that does it is ABC when they do Disney films. I mean, they're not big things anymore. They're just a lot of these smaller stations, even the affiliates, will show the older films, like when they can't fill a time slot at like 2 in the morning or something, and when they can't sell it to an infomercial or something. But there was a really cool film. It was called Chamber of Horrors, and it was a 1966 film that starred Patrick O'Neill. You probably don't even know who that is, but that's okay. What was cool about it was a knockoff of House of Wax, but it was one of those gimmick films, and there's a lot of gimmick films back in the 50s, and with the Smell-O-Vision and the Shocker Vision movies and all this kind of stuff. But this movie had, they said there were scenes that were so graphic and so scary that they had to play what they called the fear flasher and the horror horn, which the frames of the film would change a different color and flash, and they would play the sound so that you could close your eyes or look away because it was so intense. And I just thought it was funny. The story is about a guy who, was in prison and he escaped and all this. And what happened was is he cut his hand off to escape from prison. And then through the rest of the film, there's these strange murders. And so he would attach these different devices to his hands, and there's a gun and different things. And I don't know, I thought it was really kind of cool. Again, we talk about, a lot of the movies that took chances and stuff, a lot of English TV and English films and all that. I don't know, Chamber of Horrors, I thought it was pretty pretty cool. And then I'll toss out one more, and then we'll go back to you, as the Trilogy of Terror, which was a TV movie, which had the little African doll that with the knife and everything. Remember that TV movie? Jeff?
I don't recall it, actually.
Wow, that's okay. That's pretty incredible. Trilogy of Terror. You've got to look that up. Are you a Netflix person?
Nope.
Well, Trilogy of Terror has got to be there. It's got to be on the list somewhere. So check it out. Let's do one more, and we will call it a night. What one more do you got? Bring
well,
us the big guns now.
The big guns?
Yes.
It's the Evil Dead series.
Okay, there you go.
My favorite one actually is Army of Darkness because of how campy it is, and you can see the strings. But Sam Raimi has a sense of humor. Yes, it's a gory movie. It has some swear words in it and some horror aspects to it. But it's really kind of making fun of all those campy horror movies that we grew up with.
Now, I think what you're saying is absolutely true is that it kind of blended the whole comedy scary together and made Bruce Campbell a household name, pretty much, within certain circles. But I think Sam Raimi changed the whole playing field, just like Cameron did when he directed Aliens. I think, Sam Raimi took probably an established, horror movie, and he made it funny. And I think he picked up where maybe John Landis left off, and he just put it through the roof. Because there's a bunch of people that love Army of Darkness and Evil Dead and all that.
Yeah, in fact, I remember the Evil Dead movie with some of the dumb lines, like, I'm going to swallow your soul, and the witch is coming out of the cellar, and they jump on the door, and her eye pops out, and you see the close-up of the eye flying across the room, and it hits the girl in the mouth, and she's whirling around, and then she's possessed. And you mentioned the movie where the guy removes his hand.
Right.
Bruce Campbell did that in Evil Dead, and then he eventually has, like, a shotgun hooked to it, a chainsaw, and so forth, and kind of goes over the top with the gore, but trying to keep it kind of slapstick at the same time.
Well, and, I also mentioned American Werewolf in London, which was one of the funniest, scariest movies that ever was. And, did you see that in the theater? I mean, I don't even know how old you were at the time.
I did not see it in the theater. I saw it on cable. And the wolf attack before he turns into the werewolf and you see the prosthetics and stuff scared the hell out of me, but then to see his friend half decayed sitting there telling him you're going to turn into this evil, ugly thing, you need to do something about it, and trying to keep it comedic at the same time this guy's dealing with the fact that he's going to turn into a werewolf and start eating people and spread the disease, as it were.
I think what I loved about it was the whole what-if factor. Is, what if the victims could come back and talk to the person, even after they were killed because, they were in limbo, and, that's the story of the film. But, there's a pretty interesting scene when his friend was talking to him. And remember, the prosthetics in his throat would move. It was just so bizarre. The guy's wasting away, and you can kind of see, and it was just, I think the scariest scene for me was that whole daymare scene, where the guy was in the hospital, and then there was a werewolf-looking a Nazi, kind of an army werewolf thing coming out from behind somewhere, stabbing him. And then he wakes up, and then the wolf jumps out again. I mean, it was just there's so many really classic, incredible things. Him waking up naked in the zoo, and sneaking out with the balloons. There were just some really great scenes in that movie. I think that's an underrated film today. I don't think enough people talk about it, but.
Well, wasn't it The Howling that ended with the newscaster turning into more like a puppy on camera?
Yeah.
The effects with the wolves was pretty cool, but that ending scene with her was just total cheese.
Yeah. I got one more. Okay. Creepshow. I thought that was very interesting. And again, it was kind of the comedic with the scary together as well. And it was one of the, at that point, was rare to see Stephen King in an acting role.
And he played a cheesy farmer with meteor stuff on him.
Right. And I'm rattling off a bunch of stuff here, but it actually, there was one about a guy who ruined somebody's life, and I can't remember what it was. I think he killed somebody or something. And it was very reminiscent of the old Twilight Zones, where even though you try and cover up something, the past has a way of coming back and fixing things. You know, so the two guys coming back from the drowning to getting him. You know, it was just pretty. And then the other guy with the roaches coming out, I don't know. But anyway, it was very very interesting, and
your buddy
Bill for sure.
Unmuting, but he doesn't look like he's dialed in.
All right, let's see what we got here. Okay.
Unless Billy
Okay there. Hi there. My dear is on the phone too.
Hello.
Oh boy. I gotta unmute everybody. Okay, I'm muting again. Hi there, Bill. Okay. Oh boy. Well, all right.
Well,
Jeff, I keep
there's one more you may not know of. It's called Basket Case.
I've heard of Basket Case.
Have you seen it?
No.
Okay. Not to spoil it, but it's basically about conjoined twins where the twin that only has the torso and little plastic arms is removed from this boy, and he lives in a basket, and he becomes kind of evil and jealous and goes on a killing spree.
Ah.
It's really cheesy to see this thing bouncing across the ground, and then it sneaks into someone's house and kills them and goes back into his basket. And I think they made that movie into a couple of sequels that just were lame.
I keep unmuting, and they keep muting. Well, all right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, but you keep muting.
I'm sorry. I'm not doing anything.
Oh, I know. Okay. All right. I hate to do this. Let's kind of cut this as it is. We're having some technical difficulties. Thank you for sticking with the show as where we're at right now. Again, for more Roni's Own goodness with more structure, you can always go to roniesown.com. We have a bunch of really cool shows, and one in particular is Air Giggles, which is a podcast that we do as well. Now, if you'd like to email us and say, never talk about weird sci-fi TV movies again, that's fine. You can email us at roniezone@gmail.com. I want to thank Mr. Sci-Fi Jeff, Mr. Buddy Bill, and my Saweetie for joining me tonight and for roughing it out and doing the best that they can to show up. I really appreciate it. And in the future, we have some really cool shows like how to deal with the high cost of gas, and also some interesting shows about Star Wars costuming and just wearing a Slave Leia costume demean women. So a lot of interesting things coming. And so please stay tuned and to talk.roniezone.com. Also, please join our Yahoo group, and you can look it up by looking up Roni Zone. That gives us a great way to let you know about upcoming shows and that kind of thing. So anyway, thanks a lot for showing up, and we will see you next time on Roni Zone Radio.